Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. I love the in-between talk, which you guys can't hear, so I'm sorry.
You totally miss out. You guys so miss out on what goes on in between the recordings.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I would have been recorded. I wish I would have said that. But last week, we were talking about just the miracles of God and the different experiences that Tara and I have been blessed to be a part of. And talking about Haman was last week. The week before, Tara actually storied the book of Esther beautifully. And it's just amazing to hear like her holiness, her pureness. And then we have Haman, which is, what would you call that? Like the antithesis?
Yeah, that's
like complete
word.
Opposite of
holiness. It's amazing. She is. Oh no. You know, I can be a Haman too. You know, we have to all guard our hearts above
Haman,
all else, right?
I know.
You know, we are looking at, I'm just about to start crying. God, help me. I need wisdom, Lord, right now. My emotions are about to take over. In the book of Esther, one of the favorite quotes to quote is, for such a time as this. Sabrina, if you would open up to Esther 4, 4 through 8. I'm going to open us up with Deuteronomy 31, 6. Mm. Deuteronomy 31, 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You got it memorized?
Yes, and it's in your bathroom too.
Yeah. Well, no, that one's Joshua 1:8.
Okay, never mind. Sorry for a second.
But it's a repeat. It is. Because that is something that God says often to his children. He says, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Yes. But Joshua 8, I don't know how many times. I can't remember. I knew one time. But it's throughout the Bible many times he says that to the nation, despite the fact that they have been in sin. And here we have this as a reminder. I wanted us to have this as a reminder because we're about to look at the point of recognition where Esther realizes she has to make a choice. The recognition of good and bad, good and evil. I mean, it amazes me. And just something you might want to just, this here's a great conversation just to see what you can get going in a conversation at a dinner party or at a lunch table or whatever, sitting with a group of people. Ask them if they believe in evil. Because a lot of times what I'm finding lately is that we believe that good and bad exists, but we no longer look at evil as evil like we should. And it's really sad. I believe with Christians, we will have a wonderful discussion about how evil seeks to destroy that which is holy.
Right.
But when you talk with people who do not know the Lord, they believe that all is essentially good.
Right. And it's hard for them to understand that there is a place that unrepented evil people go. Like that is just so unfathomable. I just had a conversation with a lady and she told me, I just teach my kids to be good. That's enough. And I didn't have a relationship built with her. So, I've had the discernment to say, okay, God, this is not the time to be sharing, but I know that God will bring her in the path again. But it's just amazing. I'll just teach my kids to be good and they'll know good from evil because it's just, everybody should know what that means.
Well, and my answer to that is let's go to a preschool of 2-year-olds who are being taught right from wrong all day long, but they still choose, even as little people, bad.
What about me? What about me?
It's all about me. And God forgive us that that's a mentality we have. But right here in this point in Esther, what we're going to have is where recognition of what is going on happens. And we looked at the point of peace and how in our peace last week, we have to be a people of faith. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to see what has to happen in us at our point of recognition. Now, what you have to understand is Mordecai has learned that an edict is going out to destroy and annihilate the entire nation. They have given permission to kill, slaughter, plunder all men, all women, all children, completely. All that are Jewish, okay, it has gone out in the Persian nation. Over 1 million-something people could be annihilated. And he has gone before the king's palace. He has torn his clothes. He has put sackcloth is what they call it. And the reason why they did sackcloth, it was
itchy stuff.
It's really burlap. It's mm-hmm. it's like in our minds, like potato, old timey potato sack stuff. Ashes on his forehead, which signifies mourning. He goes to the inner part of the city, the middle of the city where the king's palace would be. He's crying out and he's bitter. He is the sign of total mourning and wailing. But the king and the rule within a king's palace is no unclean thing is allowed. Only that which is clean, perfection, is only allowed in the palace. And here he is displaying imperfection to the fullest measure at the gate of the king. If the king should happen upon him, you're talking, it could be death. It could be, I mean, it's not going to be a good thing regardless. He could go to the dungeon, whatever. And Esther happens to see her uncle and a message is sent. So would you read for us? I want us to read Esther. First start off, let's just do verses 4 and 5. Okay. So that we can read this.
Okay. Section. Chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Okay, when Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend to her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why.
I mean, you know, when somebody you love is grieving, I mean, one part of her reasoning may have been protection.
Mm-hmm.
Part of her reasoning may have been that if my uncle's this upset and he's here, he wants me to know.
Right.
I need to know what's going on with my uncle. But part of it is that you understand 5 years have passed. She really is a part of the palace now. 5 years is enough time to have established her position and place amongst the people mm-hmm. in the palace. Okay. And in fact, I just read this week in a leadership book that 5 years is what it takes for a pastor to prove himself within a church.
Really?
5 years is what it takes for a new, like, president, CEO, or whatever, to really prove his leadership capabilities within a leadership organization. They say it takes that long.
Well, marriage, too. They said if you can last longer than 5 years, you're on a good
track. That's exactly right. Because that is enough time and enough seasons that credibility, trustworthiness, mm-hmm. Capabilities are revealed and character is made known. Anybody can hold up a pretense for a certain amount of time, but for some reason there's something about the 5 year mark. The 5 years has passed. And so she is wanting to know what's going on. I mean, one, it could affect her in the kingdom, you know, with the king. And everything. So she sends out to find out, and then the eunuch comes back in, and he's just grieving. And let's just take it all the way down to verse 12, Sabrina. I'd like for you to read verses 12 and 13 and what he responds to her, when Esther's words are reported to Mordecai, this is what he sends back.
Okay. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this.
Okay. And in a way, it's almost as if there's a rebuke in this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It could depend on how it's read, but the tone of the words and of themselves almost feels like a rebuke. And he says, do not think that you are not there in this house for this purpose. Okay. If you remain silent, this is what I'm wanting you to understand. A truly godly leader, male, female, adult, child, has to learn this lesson. Silence is not action. One of the things that astounds me, one, I have to stop myself, because it seems easier to remain silent than to have to act. Sometimes it seems easier to withdraw than to speak for fear that I might cause conflict or make somebody mad or stir up strife. Yet if you think about it, true leaders, Jesus, he caused conflict. He caused strife. He caused the people to be stirred by the things that he said. Godly leadership does not withdraw in silence in response to leadership issues, period. Silence really, honestly, is not an action on the part of a godly leader. I would say that the only time that we have biblical examples of silence occurring, and this I could see why this happens, is Jesus remained silent to the curses that they made against him, because there's no point in him responding to it, because it was the ordained will of God that this happened.
Or forced silence, like Zechariah.
Say again. Oh, yeah. Well, that's different, because it was forced. Right. God put it upon him. Right. But on the choice of decisions,
right. Yeah.
Leadership decisions, we cannot remain silent.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times I have been disappointed in aspects of leadership in my life where I will ask hard questions and all I get back is silence, because they would rather not answer it than to stand on the line of the narrow road. And by taking silence, that is their interpretation of, you know, I just won't deal with it. Mm-hmm. And it greatly, greatly grieved me on several occasions. And I think that's one of the leadership lessons I've learned over time in 20-something years, is that I need to always be one who's willing to speak. Now, I fall short of the glory of the Lord often, because I do speak. Because it is better to be quiet and, you know, a fool and be quiet than it is to be somebody that blabs. But, you know, there is a time to speak. But this is one of those moments. She has to speak. If she does not speak, God will remove her and put somebody else in her place. And her uncle speaks boldly. You'll be removed. You'll be dead with your people. But God will use someone right. to deliver, because he knows, based on the promises of God, that God has promised that this nation will never die.
Right.
The Messiah comes through the Jewish nation. And one commentary, actually, I think it's the Quest Study Bible, when I read about it, they said that Haman, by almost like becoming almost like demonic in influence, the reason why his hatred was so grand was because he wanted to annihilate that which was the prophesied nation that the Messiah will come out of. That's why it's such an extreme response. Wow. It has to do with the lineage that this is, that Christ will come from.
Exactly.
And, you know, and when you take it from that perspective, you think, wow. And here is another perfect example.
It was radical.
Right. Another great example of how God's plan will not be thwarted. Mm. Satan never wins.
Absolutely.
Okay. In that aspect. So Esther has a choice to make. And so she has a point of decision. This is, so we've had the point of peace, and now we've had the point of recognition, and now it's the time of point of decision. The time is now. And what's the song, Sabrina, that's the time is now? Why not now? Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-mm. That's real popular on the radio right now. Oh, I'm thinking Toby Mac, City on and Sneeze.
I only listen to my iPod. Sorry.
Okay, you're so cute. Well, this song is powerful about talking about now.
Time is now.
It is now for us to make, why not our city? Why not our people? Why not us?
Right.
To be the ones to make the catalyst of change that Here radically changes our nation. And Esther is given that choice. The moment we make our decisions, it reflects our road. Okay, our decisions always reflect the road we're on. And so when we're interacting with those that are believers, we can tell within ourselves and within others what road we're on based on the point of decisions and how we handle the decisions that are being made. As Sabrina said, I want to be a person who makes my decisions through fasting. The heart of that is that she doesn't want to make a decision apart from the will of God.
Exactly.
It's not the fast. It's to hear the heart of God, to be so pure of my heart, my mind, my soul, even my hunger.
Right.
That it's God that I hear and not the voice of my body or the voice of my mind, my heart, or man. You know, to eliminate all of those to hear God clear.
Because we all hear many voices.
We do. And there was a really great poet, very young woman, and she was a new believer. And I just got this within the last year. Somebody sent it to me. I don't even remember who, on the internet. Just brand new believer. And she said, why is it that the voices I hear in my head all sound like me? And she said, when God speaks to me, it sounds like me. When Satan speaks to me, it sounds like me. Because the voice in our head is our voice. It's our voice that, you know, it's very hard sometimes when a person's a new believer to discern the voice.
Right.
And so she was struggling with the voice.
That's a good point.
And knowing what she was hearing, because she was coming out of not being a believer and coming into being a believer and trying to determine, is it the world? Is it Satan? Is it my flesh? Or is it God? And she knew God's voice was speaking to her, but she hadn't gotten to the point of maturity yet where she could discern through the word of God, this is his voice. And I think that happens to all believers because we don't read our Bibles. Honestly and truly, if we're reading our Bibles, it changes us. Sabrina, I mean, can you testify to that?
I completely agree. I know that just watching people that were not in the Word, and I mean, I was once never in the Word. I, you know, I didn't want to read the Bible, couldn't stand the Bible. And just because I just thought it was just a history book, it was boring, that wasn't relevant. And I had to go on an airplane, and I carry a Bible with me wherever I go. I switched purses and I did not have it. Aww. And I freaked out. I did not have my Bible. And I said, thank God that I memorized so much of the Word. So when I would get bumps in the air, I had verse after verse that the Holy Spirit would put on my heart. But if I didn't have time in the Word, didn't have time memorizing, those wouldn't have been able to give me the peace that I needed to get through.
And Sabrina, do you like riding on an airplane?
I don't like riding on airplanes. I don't. But God is so amazing. And he speaks to me because I've asked him to discern the voice of him versus my voice. And he told me the whole time, I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. Look at the lines on the ground that I have drawn beautifully. I mean, you look from the airplane and you see the landmarks and all these. He's like, I'm constant. There's bumps and you'll feel them, but I am always going to be the same. Do you trust that? Mm. And I just, I mean, it was just amazing. Such a sweet time. But if I didn't have the Word of God inside my heart, hide it in my heart so I will not sin against you. If I didn't have that, I would have not trusted. And I just encourage people all the time to get in your Word, read. It is so relevant. It is so on point. And you will be amazed at the transformation in your life. You know that. You used to push me all the time. You better read your Bible, girl.
I love it. I love, you know, I remember when I noticed the transition occur in you, and that we were on our way to, and I don't even remember where this conference was at.
Atlanta?
It was Atlanta. Okay. And we were on our way to Atlanta, and Sabrina would constantly tell me, I hate to read. I don't like to read. I don't want to read. Reading's not my thing. You know, some people like to read. I like to listen to music. I mean, this was her words.
That's me.
And we were on the airplane, and she was on the row across from me, and I was like diagonally just a little bit behind her. And I looked up and I noticed she read her Bible the entire flight, and I was like, wow, Sabrina's changed.
Oh my goodness.
It is the Word that changes us. That's where spiritual formation and transformation takes place.
And just like with Esther, having people to guard her.
Keep going.
Oh, we're already done. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
I'm just thankful that I have people in my life that are in the Word that will help, that I hold me accountable.
Amen. We're so glad you're listening. God bless.
God bless.
I looked up and it was